You are listening to the Ice House Podcast, hosting conversations with gritty Kiwi business owners and leaders and industry-leading minds.
Kia ora, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of the Ice House Podcast. I was reflecting today on how privileged I feel to be able to listen and share our alumni, business owners and leaders' stories. You know, their stories of building businesses from ground up or taking over family businesses or rising up in terms of their leadership ability. And yeah, I just love the idea that everyone has a story to share. And this one is no different. This is a conversation with Jo McFadden. She is the general manager of PEP Worldwide. She is the general manager for the New Zealand branch of this business. And they're all about personal efficiency courses and the power of really working well. So we talk about staying productive, we talk about well-being, culture of working from home, stronger relationships with your team, tips and tricks for efficiency in work. So it's definitely a very practical conversation, as well as hearing her whole story around leadership and business and how she has got involved in PEP Worldwide. Very inspiring. I absolutely loved my time with Jo, and I really do think you'll enjoy this conversation as well. So thanks heaps for joining us. We'll jump into the conversation now. Hello. Hi, Jo. Welcome to the Ice House Podcast.
Hey, thanks.
Thanks for being on. And we're here in the Waikato, and we've just been to an awesome event with the Ice House and BNZ and learnt lots and all that fun stuff. And then we thought, why don't we go and record a conversation about your journey in business and leadership with PEP Worldwide. So appreciate your time and looking forward to hearing what you got to say.
Yeah, great to be here. You know, it's a real pleasure. So
cool. We're ready. We like to start with quick fire, which is just a fun way to get to know someone and just have a bit of fun. So when I craft the questions, I have a little bit more fun with these ones and just throw around ideas of things that I just would like to know about you. So the first one is, when are you most relaxed?
Early in the morning. So for me, it would be walking around the park we've got a blue heeler. So walking around the park with the dog early in the morning, kind of watching the sunrise, thinking about my day.
Cool. So when that alarm goes off in the morning, I'm instantly making it not quickfire by asking you this, but when the alarm goes off in the morning, are you like ready to get out of bed, or is it still like, are you a morning person?
Yeah, totally. Cool. I don't have an alarm. I'm a dairy farmer's daughter. I've been waking up at 5:36 my entire life. So I kind of have that natural rhythm.
Yeah.
I tend to go to bed at about 9:30, 10.
Yeah.
And I used to bound out of bed, but I'm actually learning to teach myself to wake, lie there for a little bit. My latest thing is just spend a little bit of time being grateful. So having, you know, a few minutes of gratitude, like, what am I grateful for? And I've really been working on that, especially through COVID and all of that, because it was quite easy running a business, losing your thoughts into the stress of it.
Mm.
So that's been really helpful. And then I just, you know, the dog's like, take me for a walk, take me for a walk. And my husband's usually like, go and take the dog for a walk, because he likes to lie in a little bit longer than I do. So, yeah.
Wow. Oh, wow. That's amazing. Wow. I love that formative years and how it set you up like that in your future, which is cool. On the opposite side, when are you most productive or in the zone?
Once again, the morning.
Mm.
You know, for me, it's probably all the way to about 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
I will be highly focused and productive. I have a real lull probably from around 2 to sort of 4. And then if I've got a lot on my plate and a lot to do, I can fire up again so I can get that second wind.
Yeah.
So yeah, morning. Yeah. I'm a morning person.
Yeah, through and through.
Yeah.
I love having this conversation already because, you know, PEP is all around productivity and efficiency, and I can tell, like, you know yourself, which is, you know, sometimes you ask those questions, it's like, oh, I don't know. You know, it's cool to hear someone that's like, from 1 o'clock, you know, like, I have my lull. You know, and it's very interesting. Yeah. What does a day in the life of Jo look like?
So the week's kind of split into two halves. Mondays and Tuesdays, I am in the Auckland office.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So Monday, I'm I used to get up at about, you know, 4:45, try and beat the traffic. I've actually switched now because I tend to find that, you know, trying to beat the traffic, you just had to get up earlier and earlier.
Yeah, yeah. It's like 3 a.m. now.
Yeah. So I've kicked that to touch. I typically do my same routine and then I'm on the road by about 8:20. Yep. Get to the office. I do phone calls in the car. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll car share with our head of sales who has just started with us. She's cool. Based in Cambridge.
Yeah, great.
And then, yeah, it's Mondays is kind of face-to-face meetings, checking in with the team, having our ops meeting, having, you know, one-on-ones, mm-hmm. being in the office, so physically being there. Yeah. I stay the night. We quite often have drinks on a Monday night. We joke because Monday night's like an office Friday night.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
We'll have our drink, you know, we'll have a glass of wine, cool. Whoever's around. And then Tuesday, I'm usually in the office really, really early.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go for a really early walk. I'll be in the office by 7 o'clock usually.
Yeah. Wow, yeah.
But I'll hit the motorway at 2:33.
Yeah.
So I'm home by kind of 4:30.
Yeah, perfect.
And then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's, you know, wherever I'm needed in the business. So it's pretty much same morning routine. And then, you know, my week is really planned out. Mm-hmm. So it's planned out with, you know, there might be some client meetings I'm helping in on. Otherwise, it's strategy, people, finance, you know, just all the different aspects of managing a business.
Yeah. And so your role is General Manager of New Zealand, is that right?
Yeah. So, So General Manager of PEP New Zealand. We're expanding, so we're actually working in the corporate Australia space now too.
Cool. And you'll head that up?
Wow, amazing. Yeah. And we are also doing a partnership with PEP Asia. So we've got a product called Microsoft 365.
Mm-hmm.
So PEP for Microsoft 365. Microsoft cool. obviously have the product, yes. Microsoft 365.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it basically teaches you how to be efficient and effective using those tools.
Cool.
And the Asia market's pretty big. Yep. It's about 5 billion people, I believe.
Amazing.
So we're sort of starting to play in that space and collaborate with them.
Wow, big growth.
Yeah.
That's exciting. I'm looking forward to hearing more about that.
Yeah,
before we dive in, because I'm already like, got things I need to ask you and, you know, all that sort of stuff, but wanting to dive in. I would love to hear a book or podcast that you recommend.
So interesting, actually, like when I thought about this, I read so many kind of business growth books and mindset books, especially all through COVID. And then probably the beginning of this year, I felt like when I wasn't working, I actually just needed to totally switch off.
Yeah.
I've been reading The Bookseller's Secret by Michelle Gable. It is a book club book.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. It's about the Mitford sisters. Well, Nancy Mitford, if anyone knows about the Mitford sisters, the famous family out of the UK. And so it's set in the war. But then it parallels a story with a woman who lives in the States and kind of these two stories running. It's just been great.
Mm.
The other one I'm cool. kind of diving into is Attention Span by Gloria Mark,
mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, very much around what we do from a PEP perspective. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, awesome. I love that. What is one productivity tool you recommend business owners and leaders use? And yes, I added this in just for you.
So it's really hard to say one.
Just one, yeah.
Yeah. I think one that I use every single day. So if you are a Microsoft user, Quick Steps, I use it every single day to plan work into my calendar.
Yep.
I use it for tasks. So as I'm triaging my email with Do It Now, Decide Now, I will take those bigger pieces of work and just book them straight into my calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just gold.
Yeah.
You know, for example, we're doing this podcast and everything you sent me is in the appointment. So it's just ready to go. I don't have to kind of go and scramble for it.
Brilliant.
The other one that is amazing is one of our leading hybrid teams principal tools, and that's Goal Roll Remind.
Mm.
So Goal Roll Remind is, I love it because like everything we do in PEP, it's really simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just focused on making sure that the people around you and yourself included are really clear on what the goal is.
Yeah.
So what are you here to do?
Mm.
What role do you play in that? Because we don't always own it, you know. So be really clear, what is the role? What's the agreement? What do you need to deliver on?
Mm.
And then the reminder is really just the cadence, like you as a leader or another person in the business, you know, how do they need to be reminded to stay on track, to be checked in on, and getting that cadence right, and the way you do the reminding, I think, is really important as well.
Interesting.
So
two great ones there.
I think if business leaders aren't already using those,
great place to start. That's
definitely
awesome.
Yeah.
What excites you most about this year, about 2023? Apart from Bali.
I was going to say, I'm just about to go on holiday.
You can say that. That's a great one.
Just about to go on holiday for a month in Bali with my husband and three kids. They're not really kids anymore, but, you know, grown up teenagers and an adult. Two things, really. One, expanding into Australia and Asia. But actually, the other one that probably makes me most excited is, look, and it doesn't sound like it's going to be exciting, but, you know, we're going into a downturn.
Yeah, totally.
And through the history of PEP, we've actually done really well in economic downturns, because what happens in a downturn is, for some businesses, sadly, they need to reduce staff.
Yeah.
So they need to still be able to do what they deliver on, but with less.
Yes, of course.
So do more with less. So that's our wheelhouse. That's what we help people do. So you streamline the way you work.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, in downturns, you know, people want to retain staff, and because they don't want to let their good staff go, so they'll often invest in them. So it kind of, I don't want to make a hard time sound amazing, but I think for us as a business, there's a real opportunity to help as many people as we can in that space, and that's exciting to be able to help people.
Totally. Yeah. And that's that whole point of, you know, doing such impactful work, right, is that when times get tough, you want to be able to support business owners and leaders to be more productive with less, which is the reality of what it may look like.
Yeah, and knowing the value we deliver, and knowing that we can make a meaningful difference, and not just in the productivity space, because it's, you know, we don't market ourselves as a well-being program, but the outcomes that people get from being in control and reducing their stress and having better clarity or balance, or however you want to frame that up.
Yeah.
That's like an outcome of going through, you know, the PEP programs, and that, you know, like, that excites me, because we make a difference to humans, you know, to the way humans live, which is pretty cool.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. And the flow on effects from that are significant. So it makes so much sense.
Definitely.
I want to dive a little bit deeper into you, Joe, and ask this lovely, beautiful, open question. Who is Joe? Tell us a bit about yourself and what you're passionate about, and then we'll talk about all about PEP.
Okay, so I am, I'm married. I've been married for 22 years. So I am a wife. I'm a mother. I've got a 21-year-old, a 19-year-old, a 16-year-old. I'm someone who's really passionate about a close-knit group of friends. So I've got, you know, I went to boarding school. I've got my you know, five besties from boarding school, the six of us get together, you know, multiple times a year.
That's cool.
So a real close-knit kind of group of friends. For me, I grew up on a dairy farm, youngest of six. Work ethic and attitude was everything. I've had quite a colourful career, and I mean that from a, you know, I've travelled, I went to university, I've lived overseas, I've done all sorts of different things. And I think the thing that deeply sits with me is, you can really do anything you put your mind to. And I'm just, I'm passionate about people and working with people. So that's, I guess that's in essence
Yeah.
Kind of what's at the heart of me.
Yeah, I love that. And how did that lead to PIP? Like, what was the journey of where to get to where you are now?
Yeah, probably a little bit of chance and a little bit of luck. I had been a stay-at-home mum for 10 years, so I'd been out of the workforce. Mm. Had no idea what I wanted to go back into, and I only wanted to go part-time because I was pretty passionate about staying as a mum.
Mm.
So that was quite, you know, that was, I was really clear on that. Mm-hmm. I knew what I did and didn't want to do.
Yep.
And my husband at the time had actually been working as a facilitator and had been working as a facilitator for PEP, and he was leaving, and he was quite experienced in that field and I had no experience. And I literally said one day, do you think I could do that?
Wow.
And he said, actually, I think you could be really good at it. So we rang the owner and managing director at the time, and Kath Ander, and just said, hey, you know, I'm keen. And she said, come up tomorrow, come to Auckland with your CV. Well, you know, you don't have a CV when you haven't worked for 10 years.
Yeah.
So mad scramble. Got the role, steep learning curves, lots of training,
yeah.
Worked part-time as a facilitator, loved it. Then started selling, loved that.
Mm-hmm.
Then went full-time, became head of sales, loved that.
Wow.
And then the new owners asked me if I'd be interested in doing general management. And now kind of part of the business, and yeah, just feels like quite an organic journey. But once again, I think for me, I was open to the growth, the learning. Mm. Icehouse helped a lot. Like, the owner manager program was amazing.
Yeah, cool.
And I just kind of sunk my teeth into it. So that wow. work ethic and attitude.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, looped back again.
Yeah, yeah, looped back again. Yeah.
Wow, that's so interesting that a conversation like that can lead to, you know, like a one-line sentence to your husband can lead to where you are today. It's amazing how life works, right? But I want to ask this question because I feel it may be, you know, we talk about imposter syndrome a little bit a lot actually, because what I've even learned from doing this podcast is that everyone deals with it in some capacity. When you were out of the workforce for 10 years and came back into it, is that something you dealt with, or, you know, that idea of, okay, I'm back, you know, that idea of imposter syndrome?
Oh, like totally.
Really? Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I literally thought I had nothing to offer the world.
Wow.
You know, like, I remember thinking, I think I remember saying to Andrew, well, you know, maybe I could work in hospitality, you know. Wow. And he was like, what?
Yeah, yeah. Wow, yeah.
Because, you know, I had literally been a mum.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I felt like I had nothing to offer. You know, one of my best friends who continued working while she was a mum, she's a lawyer, and she just worked because we walked twice a week, and she'd just be like, no, you've got this all wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I work with people every day. You know? And she started helping me see, you know, what my superpowers are, where my strengths are.
Yeah.
And that, you know, like, that was amazing. So I think I was lucky because I had such an amazing support network around me.
Yeah.
But talk about fake it till you make it, you know, and just thinking, surely someone's going to find me out that I don't really know what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yes. It comes from different angles and different experiences, but it blows my mind how many people deal with it day to day. And you know, so many transferable skills, I'm sure, and skills that you are just embedded in you from your childhood or from the work you did prior to having that time off that you've been able to use now. And yeah, it's had incredible impact. So very cool that you jumped all in. I would like to chat a little bit about what PEP does. What is PEP's mission and purpose?
So, PEP, so we essentially help people work well. So we are in the business of working with individuals, groups, whole organisations, and taking them on a journey essentially to change behaviour, which is easy to say, it's harder to do because it's an individual that takes that responsibility.
Yes.
But for most people, they're taught how to do a job, but they're not taught how to work. So whether you learnt it on the job and worked your way up the ranks, whether you went to university and learnt intellectual information and knowledge and then applied it, but not very many people have taught how to go about the way they work, and we kind of fumble our way through it, and some are better at it than others.
Yes.
And then, you know, that especially my generation, we just worked harder and longer and harder and longer, and to the point of burnout. And, you know, at some point you can't keep doing that. You've got to work smarter, not harder. So PEP essentially teaches people how to smart cut the way they work. Mm. Like, you can be a high performer, but we'll teach you how to be an effortless high performer. So we have, we essentially run training programs.
Yep.
So we have courses. And through the courses, you learn these principles, which aren't rocket science. So for some people, they might have heard it before, but they're not implementing it. So we take you from the knowing to the doing.
Yeah, great.
I think the dance I really like with PEP is we go through some content. So we, you know, we start and we take people on a journey about how to be efficient. What does that mean?
Yeah.
What are the principles of efficiency?
Mm.
It doesn't matter if you are a technical person, if you're a CEO. It doesn't matter if you're on Outlook or you're on Google.
Yeah.
Because you take the principles and then you apply them to the way you work, because the way you think and process and the way I think and process will be totally different.
Totally.
And the job you do and the job I do is different.
Yeah.
So I love that it's a set of principles, because it's one set of principles, but not one size fits all.
Yeah.
Mm. And then the dance we do, which is really cool, is, you know, we come together and it can be a group of seven, or it can be Fisher and Paykel do groups of 24. But then it's coaching.
Mm.
And the coaching is where we apply it to the individual. Mm. If we're doing large groups, we can do syndicate coaching. But the direct application is where you get the light bulb moments and the change. That's where rubber hits the road. And then we build it over time. So we come back, you know, a couple of weeks later and we build. And then we come back a couple of weeks later and build. And it has long-lasting, pretty powerful impact.
Yeah, totally. I like that accountability piece of coming back a couple of weeks later and being like, okay, how, you know, what have you implemented? What have you taken from this theory and actually put into practice? Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, and if you think about it, like, we're humans, so you know, very rare would you get someone who implements everything.
Yeah.
So you take what you need at the time, mm-hmm. and then we come back and you review what you've been through. And, you know, some people are like, oh, I missed the batching. How did I miss that? I'm not doing it. Cool, let's pick it up.
Mm.
You know, you're ready now. Let's go.
Yeah.
And must
be so fulfilling. Like, you did, for those listening, Joe came into the Ice House and did like a one session with us, which I know we all found quite impactful. But for me, those quick steps of like going, getting an email and going, when am I going to make time to do this? Okay, let's make this actual email a calendar appointment, is the one thing I took from that I've started to implement. And I'm just proud of myself for taking the one thing, to be honest, because I was like, we actually implemented something from this. But yeah, I can see that as you go on with the journey and you learn more and more, you know, through the actual program rather than just one session, how you would take what you need from each one and slowly implement and start somewhere and just baby steps to more productive working. So so amazing. I love it. In terms of, you know, your role, what motivates you to do what you're doing now, and do you have that sense of purpose in your work? And if so, what is your purpose? Some big questions there.
It is a big question. So what motivates me? I love what I do.
Yeah.
I feel really privileged to say that.
Yes.
And I love it because I've come up through the ranks, so I know every part of that journey.
Yes.
So I've been pepped and experienced it and gone, shoot, this is actually really good.
Yeah.
And then I've delivered it and facilitated it, and then I've sold it. And I think what I love most is still hearing the results.
Mm.
you know, so everything we do is actually changing people's lives for the better.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you might be listening going, really? And it's like, yeah, really. Yeah. You know, when we sit down with a group of people and say, hey, what do you want to get out of it? And some people might just be like, oh, I really don't have time to be here. But when you get down to the nitty gritties, I remember a guy years ago said, I just want to spend more time with my son on the weekend. And I went, cool, let's do that.
Awesome.
And he went, really? And I went, yeah, let's make everything we do through applying the PET principles. Let's get that result.
Yeah.
And when you make changes that impact people's lives on a personal level,
yeah,
on a deep personal level, you know, that's like, that's the gold.
Yeah.
That's the exciting part. And I think for
that's great.
What I saw with, you know, like a lot of the business leaders in my cohort is, you know, we're trying to run a business and trying to implement all these strategies and these new things. And so how do you create the time? And PET can really help give people those tools. So I suppose it's that gift, that gift of helping people level up.
The gift of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like being a mother yourself as well, you would actually have the empathy and understanding of how important that time is with family in the weekend. And yeah, I'm sure that has really helped with that sort of motivation and purpose behind what you do as well.
Totally, you can't buy it back. Mm. So you can have, you know, you can have all the money in the world, but if you haven't had the time to spend with your family or your friends or your pets or whatever you like to do with it, you know.
Yeah, totally. So your younger self, you dairy farm daughter, dairy farm, youngest of six, is that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah, wow. What advice would you give that younger self?
I kind of struggle with this one because I was like, I think I would say yes to more and kick to touch the doubts. You know, when I look back and think, you know, when you're younger, you know, you wish you were more of this and more of that and less of this. And it's like, I look back and think, gosh, just say yes to more and own that, kind of own the knowledge that, yeah, sure, I don't have it all together. I think the other thing is learn to ask questions. Like, you don't have to have the answers, but if you learn the art of asking good questions, and that's what I think my role is in managing people. I don't need to have the answers for them. It's actually better if I don't. But if I tell me more about that. Why do you want to do that? Tell me why you see that as a good way to front a client. Great, cool. What can I do to help?
Yeah.
You know, how do I get out of your way and let your superpower come through, kind of thing.
Wow.
So I think my younger self, I would listen more and ask better questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. And that point you said, actually you don't need to solve everyone's problems. Like, at some point, you said right at the start, you know, these people are going to have to make a decision for themselves to have that behavioural change.
Yeah.
But asking the right questions just to prompt them. I love that. That's really gold. I'd like to hear, you know, being real for a second, a challenge that you are looking to overcome this year, whether in the business or you as a leader or whatever that looks like for you.
You know, we're quite a small business. There's about, I think, 24 all up, including our contract facilitators.
Yeah.
And we're spread throughout New Zealand. For probably about a year and a half, I was head of sales and I was doing GM roles. So I was doing two roles and I brought on a new head of sales who's awesome and just about to go on maternity leave. So a real challenge for me that I'm going to need to work on is to make sure that as I sort of cover Joe, another Joe, there's two Joes.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
When she goes on maternity leave, I'll cover that, but I want to make sure I do it in a way that I stay well and don't completely empty my tank.
Yeah.
So I think that it's going to be a challenge because I'm going to need to ask the others to step up and take aspects of that role. And I also think it's a challenge having those compassionate conversations with business owners and businesses that are doing it tough. You know, it's, yeah, it's been an interesting journey these last sort of 3 years.
It really has, and we were even just slightly mentioning it before, you know, it's been hard for SME business owners, and it's been very much, okay, what's the next thing on the list, and even taking the time out to think differently in terms of PEP. Do you find that maybe a hesitation for some of the smaller, medium-sized businesses with engaging with PEP would be, I don't have the time to even think about doing something differently, or would you find that?
Yeah, oh, definitely. Like, whenever someone says, I don't have the time, my answer is, that's perfect. You know, because if you had loads of time, you probably don't need, you know, what we're delivering.
Yes.
The other thing that's always a struggle with SMEs is taking a group of people out. Because,
yes, true.
You know, especially if they're quite small, because they're like, well, no, you can't take my whole team out because then I've got no business. So, you know, just coming up with creative solutions. But, yeah, it's definitely challenging if you're trying to work in the business and on the business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you're stretched, right?
Yeah.
So that's always a challenge.
Totally. Yeah, there's so many similarities in the Ice House even and PEP when we're talking, you know, around hesitations we can get from people is, I don't have the time. It's like, well, you can't afford not to do this, you know, you need to make the time. And I'm seeing very similarities across this conversation.
Yeah.
With that, I'd like to hear what's a misconception about your industry or your line of work that you'd like to debunk?
I would say a misconception is that it's just time management.
Yes.
That's one. And I think a misconception around the value, because you're not picking up a pair of shoes and going,
yes,
oh, I like these shoes, they're leather and, geez, they're, you know, made in New Zealand and they're beautiful and, yeah, I would pay X for them.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, people look at PEP and go, okay, so it's a training program for my people. And that's part of the role we've got to do, right? We've got to package it up. So, and I think we need to do this better, you know, package it up so that people go, oh my goodness, I want that.
Mm.
The way we're trying to do it at the moment is we'll often get people to talk to other business owners that have just gone through it.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like, actually, you know what?
Brilliant.
I'll give you some information, but go and talk to this person.
Yeah.
Because they'll just talk about their experience in a real, authentic, not that we're trying to not be authentic.
Totally understand.
But to just
relatable.
Yeah, to make it really relatable.
Mm.
I think the misconception is that, yeah, it's time management. And whereas it's so much more.
So much more.
Yeah.
I kind of asked this in the quick fire, but what's a productivity hack that most C-suite or, you know, that real core leadership team of a business should know but don't?
Yeah, so there's actually three. There's three that I would give away right now for anyone listening.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of you might be doing them, some of you might not, or it might be a combination. The first would be mastering the art of emptying your head.
Mm.
Okay, so we carry a lot of thoughts in our head, but our mind, if you can free up your mind and not have it as a storage area, you get more creativity, you get a reduction in stress, and for some, myself included, the weight is lifted. Like when the mind's busy, people often say, oh, my neck's sore, I've got sore shoulders, because it feels physically heavier.
Yeah.
So the art of getting it out, getting it down, and we talk about batching, having a home for things, that's the first thing.
Mm.
The second after that would be doing what we call a WRAP, a weekly review and action plan. And the WRAP is a simple tool, but when mastered, is a game changer.
Yeah.
Because you're essentially looking at the week you've just had, celebrating your successes, what's not working, what didn't you get done. You're looking at the week ahead, what time have I got available, am I prioritising the right things? And I think the third I would say would be around speak to's. Speak to's is another batching tool. most business owners have key people they need to speak to.
Mm.
Now, whether they have weekly one-on-ones, daily, monthly, you know, the cadence is really personal to them. But what often happens is that they'll just speak to them all the time.
Mm, yes.
And especially if they sit near them or work near them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'd just be like, hey, Briar, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, and I instantly interrupt your flow, but I feel good because I've got it off my, got it out of my head. Okay. So speak to is about creating a home. So I'd create a home for my key people, whether you do it in OneNote, whether you do it in a physical notebook. It actually doesn't matter. What matters is the principle around having a place to put those thoughts so that when you do then talk to that person, it's all there and it's gold. Like if I think about, you know, one of my team members, if they ring out of the blue, so if Michelle rings me, the first thing I do, whether on my phone or whether on my computer, as I click into my OneNote, my speak to for Michelle, she'll ask me some things and then I'll just go, hey.
Yes.
Quick fire, back at you.
Yeah.
Have you got five? And she'll say, yep. And if she doesn't, we can, you know, I do it next time. And I can just ask you the things. And then you're having the conversation as opposed to sending 15 emails, getting the wrong end of the stick.
Yes.
Speak to is a game changer.
That is a game changer. And like how many times you jump off a call and you're like, oh man, I should have said this, or I've been meaning to ask them about this.
Yeah.
Where if they call or you call, you open it up, it's right there, and you just ask and you get your answer straight away.
Yeah, it's great.
That is great. That is a game changer. What can owners and leaders do to upskill fast when it comes to technology and productivity? I put this question in there because I feel like sometimes SMEs can be a little bit slower to adapt new practices, new technology, new ways of thinking. How can we overcome that as a nation? I know that's a big question, but any thoughts on that?
So two thoughts. One, you know, I would say keep employing young people.
Yep.
The younger generation, they've grown up with technology. They tinker. They, you know, my kids just know how to use the functions on phones intuitively.
Yeah.
So surround yourself with younger people coming through.
Yeah.
The second thing, it's going to sound like a cliche, but do a pep course. Mm-hmm. One of the things we do is we're not technical experts, but we take the technology and the latest technology and we show how to use the principles with it.
Mm.
So that's something we do really well. And I think that, yeah, I think we have to be open to it. We have to play. We have to tinker. Yeah. Like if you think of ChatGPT.
Yes, yeah.
Explore it. Tinker with it.
Mm.
You know, it's just going to keep coming.
Yes, yeah. Got to give it a go.
Got to give it a go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really just got to create the time to give it a go. And as a team, so something we do as a leadership team is we have a batched area that we kind of share the things that we probably run to. Like we all naturally run to certain things. So then we'll just pull it and then someone will brief the rest of the team about it. Hey, you know, like I read this article on X and I've explored it and I've gone down deep and I went down the rabbit hole and then you get a little bit of information and it excites you and you have a little play. But yeah, I think
that's
we
great.
Have to embrace it.
Mm.
That's the one thing I'd say.
Yeah, you do. And yeah, I was going to ask if a part of PEP and your role would be to keep aware of new technology that's coming out that you can then simplify and integrate into your programs. Is that something that you guys need to do, is keep on the pulse of that?
Yeah, particularly around the Microsoft suite.
Yes, of course.
So we do a lot because we have a Microsoft 365 program. So we have a head of product and we have two other people in the business that are constantly looking at the changes that are coming through, which is like it's really weekly, like things
so
that
true.
They're developing and changing and doing. The other thing to remember is that keep your eye on the game. You know, the technology can be a distraction and, you know, I do see people and businesses get so excited about new shiny toys.
Yes.
And that's, yep. so the I guess the thing I'd say to that is once you've got a set of principles, once you know about batching, once you know about a place for everything and everything in its place, once you know these principles and you live them, then you just apply it to the technology.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, with OneNote, like if you're going to batch with OneNote and then you go, oh, should I use Trello? Well, yeah, you could, but don't do both if you're doing it for the one thing.
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing that we do see is when you start playing with all the technology, you can really scatter yourself and have, you know, 20 different homes and not be clear what you've put into what.
Yeah.
So simplifying is quite a good thing to do as well.
Yeah, yeah, because then you become sort of average at all of it and, you know, not very productive because it's sort of, and you're like, oh, where did I put that? In Trello or in, yeah, totally understand.
Yeah, exactly.
I like the idea as well of, you know, because everyone's slightly different and interested in different things. And so I love the idea of, oh, I read this article and can I just have 5 minutes to tell the team about what I've learned about ChatGPT or what I've learned about AI or whatever it is. Because different people sort of pick out different things in terms of technology and emerging trends.
So yeah, totally.
That's something that can be really easily implemented into an SME is even the, okay, can the youngest, you know, do a presentation every now and then at the on Teams about what they've learnt this week or something like that.
Totally.
It's quite a fun idea. I want to change gears a little bit and talk about your experience at the Ice House. Mm-hmm. I would love to hear how you heard of the Ice House to start with.
I heard about the, well, actually I heard about the Ice House through one of our directors, Mike, who said, look, I reckon this would be an amazing program. And I went, yeah, and kind of read it and then actually through the Waikato, you know, a couple of friends have friends who are business owners who have been on it. So we kind of chatted and I just got a sense of what it would be like and thought, yep, I think it sounds like my kind of gig.
Sounds like a bit of you. Yeah, that's
well,
cool.
Community, the way you learn. So, you know, that kind of a little bit more organic.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was fun, you know. And I think what worked really well is you taking yourself out of the business, going away, focusing on learning, and then the hard task of coming back and implementing. But that's all fun too.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Right at the start, when Mike said, hey, this could be a really cool thing for you to go on, did you have any hesitations around the course program?
I didn't have any hesitations, no. Mm. I think because I'm in, you know, I've had my family. Don't get me wrong, they're still around, they're still important. But it's kind of my time.
Yes.
Yep. So I'm really focused on just learning and absorbing as much as I can. And I feel like I'm... You know, sometimes I feel like, oh, gosh, did I leave it too late because I'm, you know, I'm in my 50s. But, you know, I wouldn't change things.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm, you know, if I did it all again, I'd still go, no, actually, I want to be there for my kids.
Yeah, totally.
And I have no judgment about how anyone else does it because I think it's such an individual decision.
Yeah.
But no, I just was up for it.
Cool.
I did have, I suppose the one thing I had was, you know, when I turned up thinking these people are all amazing business people and I'm not, and I look older, so are they going to think I know more? You know,
yeah, interesting.
I felt like I'm probably the 19-year-old in the room from a business perspective.
That imposter syndrome, you know, phenomenon sort of jumping back in there. Because that's about the time in the podcast, you know, people have said in the past, I felt like it was the first day of school all over again.
That's actually true. Like if I think back to the very first day, I was really nervous.
Mm.
And when I looked around and listened to people, I was like, wow, these people are really clever. And, you know, they've got these incredible businesses. And then, you know, you have to be really careful that you don't let your thoughts go down the rabbit hole of who am I, why am I here, you know, am I kind of good enough?
Yes.
And there were only, you know, four women in a course of 25.
Yeah.
So I kind of just went, oh, it's all good. And, you know, the four of us became, you know, we had a pretty close bond. The guys were great.
Yeah.
We had an awesome cohort. So, and the facilitators and coaches and were amazing too. So
did that, that's cool to hear. Did that ease quite quickly, that feeling initially of, oh, do I belong to, you know, do I belong in this room?
Yeah. I think within the first, I would say in the first round, mm-hmm. we went around the room and what did we do? You introduced the person next to you, so you yep. spent 10 minutes finding out who they were.
Intros or something. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. Reverse intros. And once we'd done that, you know, we were belly laughing and we just happened to be a group of not all extroverts, because we definitely weren't all extroverts, but there are a lot of high energy.
Yeah,
we clicked. We really clicked as a group.
That's great.
That's kind of cool. So we've got a WhatsApp chat and mm-hmm. chat, and you know, people post on it and
yeah, stay connected.
It's a real sense of community.
That's what I love so much, is that like community feel to, you know, that intimate special time that you've gone through as that small group of 24, 25. And then actually, you know, some cohorts I know of, you know, they still keep in touch 15 years later. It's like, oh, I still catch up with this person once a month for a drink, and we've talked about our business for the last 15 years. You know, it's pretty crazy stories when you hear about it, and that
awesome.
The special bond. So I love that fills the tank. How has the owner manager program impacted you and your business? So more of that maybe implementing side when you came back from the program.
I think for me, every time we went away, there were nuggets that just were perfect for me right then.
Mm.
And I'd come back, I'd be really excited, I'd share. We'd change things, we'd implement things.
Mm, cool.
You know, it definitely helped me with big picture. So it helped me kind of come out of the doing. I had been in the doing for so long, and because we were growing, and so I was kind of quite stuck in the, no, I need to do this.
Mm.
And marketing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, a lot around marketing. I took a lot of that on board. We tried a lot of different things. And then all the nuggets around people management, get the right people on the bus, get the wrong people off.
Yeah.
How to act quickly, catch things quickly, or catch things fast.
Yeah.
Sometimes we'd have sessions and I'd come back and go, oh, that's exactly what I do. And other times it would just sort of slowly filter in.
Mm.
And then it wasn't until I'd reflect back and go, oh, actually, that's all from OMP.
Mm. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it had a massive impact.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, a massive impact on me and a massive impact on the business.
Yeah, that's so cool to hear. I love that. We've talked about, you know, your love for community and the cohort and the special bond you've had. As in a more general sense, as a business owner, why is community important for those business owners and leaders at the top?
It's lonely at the top.
Mm, yeah.
You know, I'm just about to go on holiday, but what I realised probably about 3 weeks ago is I'd been holding on to so much.
Mm.
You know, I'd been holding on to the finances and where the business is going and people and, you know, managing burnout and with people and in the second half of last year, just kept going, didn't it?
Yes, like, it really did.
Like, far out, when is this going to end?
So true.
and I think, you know, and we had staff members that had lots of personal things happen and you keep going because you want to be their rock.
Yes.
And then what I've realised, it was probably about 3 weeks ago when I started, and I wake up, I'm glass half full, I'm excited to go to work, and about 3 weeks ago I was like, oh, I don't want to go to work.
Mm.
And Andrew was saying, my husband was saying, that's not like you.
Mm.
And then I'd be like, oh, I just really don't want to go to Auckland.
Yeah.
And I kind of didn't pay enough attention to that. And then it was probably about a month ago it started. And then interestingly, because you asked the question about why is community important,
yeah.
The reflection for me, I would have thought I'd reach out real quick.
Yes.
Yep. I would have thought I'd just reach out real quick to, you know, some of the OMP crew or community around me. And I didn't because I just thought, oh, I don't know, I'll be all right.
Yeah.
I'll just keep going. And, you know, I'd get to the end of the day and desperately want a glass of wine and get to 10 o'clock and desperately want a coffee.
Yes.
And then I started thinking, oh, shoot. It is lonely. I think it's lonely, and I think having that community where, and I think some of the OMP group have done it really, really well. Like, we have this WhatsApp chat, and they'll just post things going, oh, how do I do this, or what can I do here? And I've done it a few times, but actually, you know, if there's any learning here, I wish I'd just reached out to the group and gone, I'm really struggling, guys.
Yeah, totally.
My headspace is not good.
Yeah.
And isn't it funny? Like, I'm, you know, early 50s, but I still have a bit of a mentality of, I'm all good.
Mm.
You know, like, you know, this won't happen to me. Like, I'm not going to burn out.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I think if you've got communities around you, yeah, probably just let people know. The funny thing for me is when I did let my leadership team know, there was almost a part of me that regretted it, because then I felt like they kind of went, are you okay? Are you okay? What can I do? Are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah,
I'm just not in a great mind space, and I really do need to go on holiday.
Yes, yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know how you get, I don't know how you get that balance.
Thank you for sharing that, because I think it's something we all go through as humans, but just as leaders and owners as well, when there's that expectation on, from what I can see from the community and network, when there's that expectation on the owner and the leader to have it all together and to be the rock for others, especially after a very full-on last couple of years, you know, it can be hard to actually reach out and know who the right people are to reach out to when you're in a space that you need to tap into your own community. And that's why, you know, having a cohort of people that just get it can be so helpful, and family and friends. But yeah, thank you for sharing like what community means to you, because it's so, so important that we're just vulnerable and we're real, that it's not always roses and, you know, all the sweet stuff.
No, definitely isn't.
And you deserve an awesome trip away with your family. And so I know you'll get your tank filled there, which is good.
Yeah, thanks.
I could talk to you for ages, but we've been chatting for 50 minutes, which is crazy. I would love to hear how listeners can connect with you. And if they're sort of going, okay, there's a few things you've said here that have sort of jumped up in my mind or made me think, what's the best way for them to go? What's our next step with PEP? Or, yeah.
I was laughing when I read this question, because I was thinking, you know, when you listen to people and they go, you can find me on WhatsApp, you can find me on this. You can't find me anywhere there.
Yeah. Nowhere, guys.
No.
Email's as good as you get.
Yeah, honestly, if anyone listening wants to have a chat, I'm always up for a chat, not until May, because I'm going away for April.
Good call.
So my email... which I'm sure you can put
I'll pop it on.
Briar can put on the podcast. Otherwise, you can Google PEP Worldwide NZ. And there is a, I'm pretty sure, this is going to sound good, isn't it? I'm pretty sure there's a contact page.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and you can fill it out if you're interested to have a conversation or know more. But I'm always up for chatting. So,
cool.
Yeah, if anyone just wanted to reach out, they can email me. And I'm happy if you want to chuck my phone number in, because you can just text me is quite good too, because if someone, I don't usually pick up a phone if it's a number I don't know, but if you text and say, hey, I listened to your podcast, I'd love to chat for 10 minutes or for 5 minutes.
Awesome.
You know, that works really easy for me.
Yeah, that's such a great practical way people can reach out.
Yeah, definitely.
I love that.
Yeah,
well, thank you so much for your time, Joe, for unpacking productivity for SMEs and also your leadership journey. It's very inspiring. So I appreciate it.
Cool. My pleasure. Thanks.